This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless Thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the Best of the Names. In the Name of Allah, Lord of Earth and Heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith, Salamu alaikum, and welcome to this program. Today's special. At the first step, please accept our congratulations on Islamic Republic of Iran victory anniversary. Today, Monday, is the 18th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At the first step of today's special, we open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Al-Imran, verse 85.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يبتغ غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين.
And whoever desires other than Islam as religion, never will it be accepted from him, and he in the hereafter will be among the losers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
All the former prophets have been taken pledge to believe in their following prophet. The whole existing world submits to Allah, and no religion can be accepted except the religion of Allah. The followers of Islam believe in all prophets of Allah and the divine books. This is the feature of the religion of Islam and its convictions. Now, the Quran explicitly announces that whoever accepts besides than that, it will not be accepted from him.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
On this episode, we continue the discussion on talking about the fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution. Dear brothers and sisters in faith, congratulate on Fajr Decade. It is 10-day celebration of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini's return to Iran in 1979. Following the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran, some short-sighted analysts tried to analyze the trend of development in the Islamic Republic of Iran, but have failed to discover that no theories are applicable to the grassroots movement of the Muslim people of Iran that was brought to fruition by the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. In other words, the theorists and analysts have failed in their attempts, since the revolution in Iran is based on the timeless teachings of Islam and the dynamism of the Sharia. This is the reason that despite the passing of years, the revolution continues to attract the third generation in Iran by the millions who have kept alive the ideals of the movement generated by Imam Khomeini. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. Concerning the Islamic Revolution of Iran, it must be indicated that, as its name suggests, it has been the Islamic Revolution of Iran, particularly because its leader was the clerical personality Imam Khomeini. Now we find that the Islamic Revolution of Iran, which has got various aspects, I mean, throughout the history, in this context, we find that there are still certain, I mean, dimensions of the Islamic Revolution which deserve being elaborated, highlighted, and introduced to the world. In the first place, we find that Imam Khomeini initiated his movement. Based on what he felt to be done and should be done regarding the Islamic religion, at least in the Iranian context, but ultimately on the global scale. Imam Khomeini was the personality who represented the national dissatisfaction with the anti-Islamic policies and measures taken and adopted by the ex-Pahlavi regime, ex-Pahlavi royal regime.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special.
Imam Khomeini's political thought, alliance between religion and politics. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, in Imam's view, religion is not limited in establishing relations between man and God, nor is it confined to celestial happiness of man. Imam Khomeini disagrees with both these approaches and is of the view that confining religion to mundane affairs is a materialistic approach, and limiting it to spiritual aspects of man is a pseudo-mystical one. Materialists used to reduce all the teachings of religion into materialistic notions. Even miracles and unhidden matters are interpreted by them in terms of material notions. But Imam Khomeini sees reality of Islam beyond all those matters. Imam Khomeini says, "The politics that I am talking about is the politics of our country. It is a perfect form of politics that Prophet and our leaders in Islam practiced. They came to guide people and lead them towards their real interests. Politics is meant to guide people and take into account all interests of the society and men. This is the politics of the prophets, which others are unable to implement." congratulations on the victory anniversary of Islamic Republic of Iran. We have a story from the life of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution. The title of this story is, O Allah, make us turn to you. One of the students of Imam Khomeini said, an interesting memory that I have of Imam's lesson is his first sentence in his first lesson in Najaf in Iraq. After a period of exile in Turkey and after several journeys back and forth, Imam Khomeini began giving lessons. In the Sheikh Ansari Mosque that was filled with people, he sat on a pulpit of two small stairs and then began speaking. Everyone was waiting and eager to hear his words. They wanted to see what the Imam would say after the exiles and imprisonment affairs in Iran. After beginning with the name of Allah, Imam said, O Allah, make us turn to you. O Allah, make us turn away from anything that is other than you. At that moment, it occurred to me that this supplication has been granted for the Imam himself.
The distinguishing features of this great personality, Imam Khomeini, are not one or two. There are several. The first one is the fact that he stood for what he himself called, because he was a statesman and he used to introduce new terminologies into this world. So the first thing is what he stood for, the pure Muhammadan Islam, al-Islamul Muhammadiyul Asil. Islam e Nabi Muhammadi, how we say in Farsi, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Islam is one standard Islam. Why in the world do we stand in need of adding an adjective to say the pure Muhammadan Islam? Is there any other brand of Islam available? Why do we need to use those terms? What are we up to? What do you want to distinguish? There were people, and there are still some, who used to use the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam, Ana Rabbul Ibil wa inna lil bayti Rabban. I am the Lord of the camel, and certainly the house has a Lord. And there were people, and they are still, who have been misusing the statement of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam to justify what they are doing towards the zalimeen and tawaghit. So, whereas my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuri, hafizahullah, in his tafsir, let me first tell you the exact Persian statement of my teacher. For those of you who can understand Persian, my teacher said that با آمدن آیه یک متفکر دینی مجاز نیست که بگوید من صاحب شترم و باید در مال خود تلاش کنم و صاحب خانه خونه را حفظ می کند. After the revelation of the verse, he's talking about the verse from Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah talks about who has the right to become mutawalli and the caretaker of the Holy Kaaba. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. My teacher said, after the verse has been sent down on the Prophet, no one has the right to say that I don't care about what's going to happen to the house of God, because God, you know, is going to take care of his house himself. And we run away and escape from our responsibility.
Today's special on IRIB English Radio presents its episodes on Fajr Decade, that is, 10-day celebration of Imam Khomeini's return to Iran in 1979. Congratulations on all Muslims and fi amanillah.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about listening to a gem of a statement from Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the immaculate daughter of the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Modesty is the best and only jewel of a woman.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have been discussing the concept of the intellect, the importance of the intellect, the importance of thinking, actually. Because there's no point just having intellect, the point is using it. As we saw in one of our previous discussions, the concept of an aqil is the one that is wanted, not just the intellect. Intellect is something that, you know, in its essence, without being used by that person, in order to do what? To achieve the paradise by means of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's, you know, it doesn't do anything. If it becomes weak and it becomes dusty and rusty, and you know, it'll just, you know, become useless. So in this tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, we see that the intellect is something that is not apparent to everybody. It is something that is concealed, something that is hidden. And that intellect is something that enables a person to be sincere in certain actions. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is reported to have said that the intellect is a veil concealed, or something that is concealed rather within a veil. And good character is manifest beauty. So hide your bodily imperfections with your good character, and combat your desires by veiling them with your intellect. In doing so, your love for others shall remain unblemished, and others' love for you shall become manifest. So we see here that there are two completely different things here, or traits that the Imam has mentioned, that is extremely important. One obviously is the intellect and the purpose of the intellect, and the other is good character and the purpose of good character. Then we see that good character is that trait that conceals physical ugliness, meaning what, that when a person looks at somebody who, for example, may have a physical defect or may have some physical ugliness, you know, it's not really important to that person, because the good character will want a person to be with you regardless of how you look, regardless of, you know, how you might, you know, have certain scars somewhere. But that good character will draw people towards you, because it's a manifest beauty. And then on the other side, when we talk about the whims and the desires, the ability to combat these desires and these whims comes from the intellect. That one can only combat one's whims and desires by contemplating those results that will come up, or come out rather, from these whims and desires that a person, and these illicit actions that a person wishes to perform. What is the ramifications of them? And the only way a person will be able to understand these ramifications is by pondering, by using the intellect. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that manifest beauty of good character, and that veil of the intellect where which we are able to cover, and we're able to manipulate, if you like, our desires in the right fashion. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra' بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Philip Khoury Hitti was a Lebanese-American professor and a scholar at Princeton and Harvard University, and authority on Arab and Middle East history, Islam, and Semitic languages. History of the Arabs is one of his most famous books and was first published in 1937. Hitti spent 10 years writing this book. In chapter 9 of this book, which is entitled The Quran, the Book of Allah, he wrote about the historical narratives of the Quran the following. All these narratives are used didactically, not for the object of telling a story, but to preach a moral, to teach that God in former times has always rewarded the righteous and punished the wicked. The story of Joseph is told in a most interesting and realistic way. Now let's listen to the recitation of verses 1 to 8 of Surah Ash-Shams, recited by Abu al-Aynayn Shu'aysha.
والقمر إذا سلم Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to the recitation of Surah Ash-Shams, verses 1 to 8, recited by the great reciter, Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aishah. We want to analyze this recitation now in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wash-shamsi wa duhaha. Okay, we have the issue of alif lam and sun letters and moon letters. Ash-shams. In the word ash-shams we have sheen, which is a sun letter. And Shams itself means the sun. Ash-shams means the sun. So what happens is that the lam is not pronounced whenever a sun letter comes after alif lam. It's a alif lam is an article. It's like the in English. And instead, the sun letter becomes mushaddad. If it was a moon letter, the lam would be pronounced. The lam would be a sakin lam. And we have that. Wal-qamari idha talaha. The second verse. Al-qamar. So as you can see, the lam is actually pronounced. Wal-qamari idha talaha. Wal-nahari idha jallaha. Now as you can see, all of the verses, almost all the verses, all of the verses actually, in this surah, they have this rhyme. Duhaha, talaha, jallaha, yaghshaha, banaha. This makes this surah very beautiful. And you have to make sure that you pronounce these aliful mads with tarqiq. Because aliful mad could be pronounced with both tarqiq and tafkheen. Tarqiq means thinness, the mouth opening horizontally instead of vertically. So we say talaha, talaha. We don't say talaha. If you say talaha, that's incorrect. Jallaha, that's incorrect. Jallaha. The mouth opens horizontally. Wal-layli idha yaghshaha, yaghshaha. The ghain has to be pronounced with the back of the root of the tongue touching the uvula, as if you're gurgling water. Yaghshaha. Was-samaa'i wa ma banaaha. In the word was-samaa', we have madul muttasil, so you have to lengthen this mad to four or five vowel counts. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. أَرْضِ, the ضَاد has تَفْخِيم at the lowest level because of the كَسْرَة. وَالْأَرْضِ, the root of the tongue is not raised too much. وَمَا طَحَاهَا, but طَحَاهَا, the طَا has a higher level of تَفْخِيم because of the فَتْحَة. وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فجورها وتقواها. In the word تقواها we have قلقلة of the letter قاف. قلقلة is both a characteristic and also a mechanism. We have five letters of قلقلة. قطو بجد. Whenever they're ساكن you have to apply قلقلة by making sure that the articulators quickly come apart whenever they touch each other. تَقْوَاهَا. You don't make a pause, and that's how you pronounce قَلْقَلَا. Okay, that's it for today's program. Inshallah, your tajweed will improve, and you will become good reciters of the Quran. God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, another important and beautiful story regarding the Holy Quran and its effect on the hearts of individuals is the story of the accepting of Islam by the head of the Khazraj tribe. Now, as we know in history, in Medina, before Islam entered Medina, there were two tribes, both of them like big tribes, and they were the main tribes in Medina, the main Arab tribes in Medina. One is the Aus and the other is the Khazraj, and for generations and for many, many years they had a dispute and a disagreement, and you know, they had battles and skirmishes and fighting and bloodshed, you know, at random times, sort of smallest of reasons. So it is said that on one of these occasions where there was a dispute and a disagreement between the Aus and the Khazraj, the leaders of the Khazraj, or rather two of the heads of the Khazraj tribe, namely As'ad and another one named Dhakwan, these two individuals decided to go to Mecca. And because of their long-standing friendship with some of the tribes in Mecca, they tried to go and, you know, get some pacts and some treaties in order for them to say that, okay, we have these allies, that if the Aus tribe tried to do something, we have our friends in Mecca who will come to our aid and come to our assistance. So anyway, as these two individuals entered into Mecca, one of the leaders of the Quraysh was a person by the name of, and we mentioned in one of our previous episodes as well, being one of those individuals who was well versed in the Arabic language, the name of Utba ibn Rabi'ah. So As'ad was a close friend of this Utba, and obviously he went to visit him and went into his home. So as he goes and he sits and he speaks to him and he says, and he explains to him why he came to Mecca and the issues that he has with the Aus tribe. So Utba looks to him and says to him that, you know, do not expect any help from us here in Mecca, for the place you are staying in Medina is far from us, and right now we do not have the ability to assist you. So As'ad becomes, you know, perplexed, and he says, okay, but why? You're sitting in your home, you seem comfortable, but why is it that between you and your tribes and the other tribes in Mecca, what is making you uneasy? What is taking your time? Why is it that you are unable to help us? So inshallah, in our next episode, we will present to you the answer of Utba and show you why. I'm sure most of us can assume why, that in this particular occasion, why did Utba ibn Rabi say to the leaders of the Khazraj tribe that we are busy, we have our own problems right now in Mecca? Inshallah, until our next episode, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به. هو القرآن والفرقان.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World, and of course, as I say, who changed all our tomorrows. The program is dedicated to the great soul of Imam Khomeini, may God be pleased with him. And of course, we have been discussing in the last three programs different aspects of his personality. We've been looking at the sources as to what formed those characteristics, those virtues in this great personality, and how he has shaped not only the events, the historic and epic events in what happened in the Islamic Republic and the formation of the Islamic Republic. Of course, these are separate issues that need to be discussed later on at length as to the actual events of what of the Islamic revolution that took place here. But of course, Imam himself said that this is an Islamic revolution. An Islamic revolution means that this is a complete reformation of our understanding of not only the religion of Islam, but our understanding of God. And it was not only for Muslims, but it was for non-Muslims as well, and for the people of the book. And we are going to look into aspects in this program about the Imam, which defined his divine characteristics. And, you know, we've discussed with our guest, Dr. Hassani, on this program about simplicity, virtues of honesty, and looking at purity of intention and will and determination. And we also talked about this divine courage, which stems from faith. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome Dr. Hassani again to the program to help me discuss these wonderful attributes of the Imam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you for being on the program. Dr. Hassani, take us a little bit further now on this aspect of purity of intention, sincerity, something I think lacking, something that's pretty much lacking in most Muslim societies, this concept of sincerity. I mean, there's a big aspect to this, and you could see that sincerity in Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, immediately. I mean, it was not something that, you know, you needed to, as in the words of this journalist who wrote this book, My Beautiful Experience, I'm talking about this man, Robin Woodrose, he says that, you know, I came to, like most journalists do, they came to our country to find out who's the leader and to do a bit of research on the man to find out what is his weaknesses, what are his strengths, what are his characteristics. But he says, I didn't need to do any of that. I just looked at him and my questions were answered. Is that the purity of sincerity?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Good subject. We need to think about again and try to talk about it as simple as
we
possible.
Can. Yeah. Without clouding the issue.
Right.
Yeah.
On the issue of purity of intention, again, goes back to the definition. If you know who you are, if you know your limit, I should put it this way. If you know your limit, that the real source belongs to him.
Quite.
It comes from him. And let's not forget, it goes back to him.
Yes.
If you pollute the source, okay, the pollution has a price to pay back. This is what, when you talk about sin here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. This is only a beginning. Purity of intention, you know to have your limit, who happens to be your creator, God Almighty. We talked about this before.
Sure.
But we're trying to get some other points at
the
same time.
Yes, yes.
If you know your limit, then you think about, you should think about the source. Source is pure. What does it mean? It means when his knowledge, let's get serious about this, and simple at the same time.
Sure.
The creator knows what he created, what kind of capacity, what kind of feelings, what kind of different dimensions of the being he created.
Yes.
Therefore, he has a prescription, a true one, a right one, for every single different situation.
Yes.
It's just like, you know, sometimes I think about life as a conditional statement. I have to explain what I mean by
that.
Yeah,
please do. Please.
You
do.
Know, think about a keyboard on a computer.
Yeah.
Every button you touch, something will happen. Mm-hmm. If you touch delete, what happens?
Well,
it deletes.
Yeah, it deletes.
All the information is gone.
All the information is gone.
Can you bring it back?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
You can't.
It's gone.
It's gone.
This is what I mean by polluting. If you don't know the action of one particular button, what would you do? What are you supposed to do? You should ask.
Yeah.
You should read the manual.
Exactly. The manual that we
the manual that we were talking
about.
Remember
the last
Quran is a manual, a complete one. Mm. A complete manual for all human beings for their own direction.
For their perfection.
For their perfection.
And salvation.
And salvation.
Yeah.
Which we call guidance.
Yes, yes.
The guidance of Allah comes through, it's written within the manual, which is Quran.
Yes.
Purity of intention, it means that you are limited. Therefore, you cannot do things that later on you're going to face difficulties.
Yes.
When you are not pure, with your when you don't think about purity in this sense, you're going to lie.
Yes. And it's easy for you.
And it's very easy at the time.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, with the least cost,
yes,
with the least expenses,
yes,
you can get away with it.
Now, let me throw in something into the works here, because what we are talking about here is something very, very significant about the Imam's personality. And what I want to get to is this. You just mentioned the fact that if you're coming from a polluted source, it's very easy to lie. And wasn't politics...
And you know,
please let me finish this point. The politicians of the West, because they're coming from a polluted source, in other words, they're taking their politics from Machiavelli, the source being the concepts of politics or the understanding of the science of politics.
And when you can justify everything.
And justify everything, even though you're lying.
And you know it, you're lying.
And you know you're lying, and you're caught. This is what happens to these politicians, isn't it?
You get caught red-handed.
Yeah, you get these scandals, don't you? That, you know, after a certain period in power, whatever speech they've said at that particular time, some journalist who has done his research finds out that you said something quite the contrary to that.
And they bring it out.
And they bring it out.
On the check and balance system.
Right. And that, they're caught, and then the reputation goes out of the window.
Which
then,
they don't care.
Which... Yeah,
they
exactly. They're shameless. That's true. That's another issue. But what I'm coming to about the Imam is, and certainly what Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, which we were discussing, because he's coming from a pure source.
The reason I say they don't care, because the next subject we're going to talk about, you should ask me about the sincerity.
Yes, yes.
The connection between sincerity and purity.
We've introduced the idea.
Right.
But because of the purity of his intention, and we want to go into the fact that he was practicing this purity of intention through his five-time prayer, because it's been recorded that he never, ever missed his prayer on time. Because remember, he points this out to us.
Mm-hmm.
He says that to us over and over again, do this on time, because this qualifies you to come into that scope of sincerity, simplicity, honesty, and purity of intention, because it shows that you have complete faith and love to do something for your Creator as he's asked you to obey him. But at the end of the day, Imam Khomeini, was, may God bless his soul, never changed his argument, even before he wasn't known as Imam, and even after the revolution.
It wasn't even debatable for him.
It wasn't debatable. Why
it wasn't
was it?
Thinkable.
Why was it that the people in Washington and Moscow were so certain and so afraid that whatever the Imam says now, that's it. That's final. Doesn't that come out of purity
Brother,
of intention?
Brother, in the ecosystem of life, I should call it, in the ecosystem of life, if you're polluting your surroundings, you're not going to survive.
No, you won't.
As simple as that.
Yeah. But this is why he stands...
That's why he cared about his time of praying and everything else.
Yes. Because what I'm seeing is,
but
that as
you think, if you think about this in a different way, sooner or later you're gonna find some particular instance that it might be questionable for you. Like Imam did something, you cannot reason it in your own mind. There's nobody to ask about it. Okay, then it becomes a contradiction with beliefs, because we talk about beliefs here now.
Yes, quite.
I don't know if I made my point.
No, you have. Made your point. Yes.
If in the ecosystem of life, you know you are pure. You're in the fountain of purity. Okay. This is the word. This is actually the philosophy behind salawat, salutation of God upon His holy prophet.
Yes.
Which we do. Something we cannot do. Only we ask
God
to
do for us.
Allahumma salli. Yes. It means we are not able.
We're not
you
able.
You do it for us.
You do it
with
for us.
With the help of you, we get, brother, with the help of God, we get under that purified fountain of mercy.
Quite.
This is the beauty of understanding of Quranic and Islamic teaching, which is one thing. Okay? Purity of intention. Because of that, he always knows where he's coming from. Again, back to, this is not tradition that you forget and you cannot applicate different situation to it. No, it is applicable. One particular understanding, true understanding of Quranic teaching can take you forever.
Exactly.
From A to B.
Exactly.
To the completion and also to the right destination without any damage.
Imam Khomeini, as we are saying right now, God bless his soul, this sincerity of intention brings him to the point of truth. And it is truth that he wants to get across
and
to the people.
And it is truth and truthness that can take you to the sincerity.
Exactly.
When you do care, this is the only way.
Well, what I wanted to get to was the fact that this truth is not something new in terms of the fact of what, may God bless his great soul, what he did. But because he's coming from the household of those who are known as the truth. Because I want to take people back.
That is important. Yes.
Yeah, I want to take people back to that point where the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had to get his message, the truth of his prophethood, across to the people of the book. Now, let's put this in context here. Let's face it, Washington and Moscow, although Moscow was following an atheistic ism called communism.
All the isms.
Whatever, but basically they come from the tradition of being followers of Jesus Christ. They are the people of the book.
They're supposed to be.
Yeah. Now, I want to take them back to this mobala, this challenge, this mutual cursing, they call it in
Arabic. Argument, yes.
Yeah. This is a very important because this was where this purity of intention must work. Otherwise, the whole message is going to fail.
It's gone.
The people at that time, the Christians of